Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, Fox?
The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eagers Heating and Air Conditioning.
Big Tech is out to get conservatives. Big Tech is out to get the president.
President Trump and I are going to protect freedom.
13 days until the most important election of our lifetime.
Joe Biden is like a warm sweater.
It's the last-ditch effort in this desperate campaign to smear me and my family.
10% held by Hunter for the big guy. I wonder who the big guy was. The big guy. He doesn't look so big to me.
Hey, first time maybe ever that I've agreed with Barack Obama on something. 12 days away from the biggest election of our lifetimes. No doubt about that. Happy Thursday. Boy, this week has just flown by. It's amazing.
I know the way it goes when you've only been here for
2 days. Oh, that's right. It has for you.
Yes, indeed.
Good for you, you lucky duck.
I know. Good to be back. Good to be here with you on election debate morning, and we're looking forward to that because in about an hour, the Senate Judiciary Committee is going to go back into session where they are expected to confirm the nomination, out of committee at least, of Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the United States Supreme Court. They will do that in a room with zero Democrats in it because they're apparently boycotting today's hearing because they know they can't affect the outcome. Every trick in the book that Chuck Schumer's tried so far has failed. So today they're just going to take their toys and go home. They're not going to play.
All right. I think Brian Kinley put it the best the other day when he said a true test of how well Amy Coney Barrett did during those hearings was the fact that SNL didn't touch it. I mean, didn't even try to parody it. Yeah, you're right.
That is probably a good point.
Really good point.
The fact that they were mad at Dianne Feinstein and had to take her into the corner and have a talk with her firmly because she wasn't mean enough to Amy Coney Barrett.
And it wasn't for lack of trying at first. She just got caught up with like, I can't say anything bad about this.
Yeah. She couldn't answer. Barrett was that good.
Yeah.
Quite an impressive answer there, Judge Barrett. That was outstanding. So I will have to wear my notorious ACB T-shirt on Monday when the full Senate is expected to convene and vote to approve her nomination.
You'll have to.
I will.
You have no choice.
Have to.
Other than to do that.
And the great thing about it is that the vote's going to come this morning so the president can tout this tonight during the debate. Think that'll get brought up? Of course it will.
Yeah. If he brings it up himself, maybe.
Yeah. So of all the things facing the United States right now, particularly this extraordinarily important presidential election, the debate commission changed the rules again yesterday by throwing out the plan to talk about foreign policy tonight, which is, of course, important. And instead,
the president's done well there.
Yeah. Mm. Instead, letting Kristen Welker bring up a variety of other things, many of which Chris Wallace already brought up in the first debate.
Yeah, let's talk about climate change again.
Do we bring up white supremacy again?
I bet they do. Oh, yeah, they're going to bring up race. Race is on the list.
Does she bring up? Does she ask him to denounce unequivocally white supremacy again?
I don't know. We're going to have Wallace
that
on the next
on the
hour.
We'll
as soon as she does, everybody has to slam a beer or something. We've got a game, a drinking game.
Chris is thinking, if I just had one more chance, and now Kristen Welker gets it instead of me.
We'll see how he feels about it. He's going to be on, despite how our audience feels about this, he's going to be on with us in about an hour. So.
I know. We'll mix it up with Chris coming up. We got Roy Blunt here at the bottom of the hour. But right now, let's get to Jim Tapper, please. Former Missouri Senator Jim Talent, now with the Bipartisan Policy Center. Jim, good morning to you.
Good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank
good,
you.
Good, good. Are you excited about the final debate tonight? You don't sound too excited.
That's the tough question I didn't anticipate. Yeah, I guess I'm excited about it. I mean, I hope that people actually have a chance to talk about what they, in the president's case, what he's accomplished. And I hope he tries to redirect questions back to that, because I would like to hear him talk more about his accomplishments with the economy and foreign policy. I mean, he's done a lot of that, but I think he's going to need to be very disciplined to get that message across tonight. So let's see if he does it. I agree with you about the debate commission and changing rules. I mean, I'd have just been incensed if somebody had made major changes just before a debate, you know, because you're supposed to be preparing for it, right?
Right.
And then they pull the rug out from under you. I mean, it's just, I've never heard of anything like that, you know? So, Trump is pretty good at adjusting, you know, to things. So I don't think that'll be a huge problem for him.
Well, you know, it there was a big report yesterday on election interference from foreign countries, and I want to get to that in a minute. But I can't help but to want to talk about this election interference from the debate commission. I mean, you can't, depending on your point of view here, I understand people are going to disagree with this. It looks to me like they're trying to run interference for Joe Biden. The way they changed the last debate and the way they've modified the rules for this debate.
You have to have that suspicion. Particularly when they're changing things, you know, at the last minute like this. So we'll see. A lot depends on, you know, the questions that Welker asks and how she handles herself tonight. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll be interested to see whose hand is on the button. I mean, I think that's the bottom line. I mean, if you knew you were in a debate and somebody could mute your mic anytime they wanted to, you'd want to know whose hand was on the button, right?
Right. And I think it's now it's a problem trying to enforce rules in this kind of a debate, because, if, you know, what are you going to do if they keep trying to interrupt? But I think the last one, the viewers did not like that, the constant interruption. So I think they both have probably decided, you know, we're going to pull that back, tone that back. And so you do open up yourself to charges, because now it'll be, okay, you use the mute button X number of times on this person and, you know, Y number of times on the other. So, there is no substitute for a fair and competent moderator.
So
we'll see what we get.
Dr.
I mean,
Tobler.
I don't like this format at all. I would prefer the best ones I ever did. I thought just the best ones from the standpoint of the process were the Meet the Press ones with Russert, where, you know, you'd sit there with your opponent and he'd take the time and you're around the table and you basically go back and forth, and he was strong and effective. And I thought those were really good debates. I also thought I did well on them, which is one of the reasons I guess I like the format.
You know, Dr. Tobler brought this up earlier. He said, here's what I hope the president does tonight. I hope that he has in his breast pocket there copies of the policies that Joe Biden has on his website available for anybody to see. The tax policy, which is 100 pages long. I hope they've dug through there and highlighted a couple of the things of proving your taxes would go up, the things on the Green New Deal, some of the other things that are on that website, and just read them, because most people aren't going to, and force Joe Biden into having to explain what some of these things are, because nobody has asked him any of these questions.
Right. And I think that would be very effective. If the president makes a point of talking about what his policies accomplished for America, particularly in the economic sphere. Now, I'd love it if we had a real foreign policy debate. That, as you know, I mean, national security policy is what I work in. And I think there are good points the president can make there. Like, you know, he's the first president since Reagan who hasn't started a war. I think that would be very powerful. But to, you know, to focus on his domestic policy achievements and contrast that with what Biden wants to do. And I think that would be extremely effective. Now, we'll see if that's what he does. And we'll see if they try and keep him from doing that.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how that happens. Speaking of foreign policy, which apparently they won't be discussing tonight, even mm-hmm. though they were supposed to. This announcement yesterday by the DNI, his name's escaping me. And
Radcliffe.
And Ray with the FBI, that Iran and Russia have interfered with our election process again, or at least are trying to. How serious do you take those claims? And I guess ultimately, do you think it could have an impact, or truly have an impact on the outcome of this election?
Well, the answer is that the bad actors have been doing this for some time. In fact, this goes back to Soviet days, you know, disinformation, attempts to disrupt civil society among their adversaries. The Russians, I think, are still the best at it. The Chinese probably spend the most effort and money, but I don't think they're as good. They get caught a lot more often. It's provoked a real reaction, for example, in Australia. And in Taiwan as well. In fact, it's affected elections negatively from Beijing's point of view in those countries. So this is a common thing. The extent to which they succeed, you know, this is a gut level call. I tend to think it has less of effect on a particular election than it does on our civil society over time. I do think they are behind. Well, it would surprise me if they were not involved in just trying to disrupt and disunite, the American people over time, because it advantages them.
Jim Talon, our guest this morning, you know, I go back to 2016. There were all these allegations of Russia putting out Facebook ads and other things like that designed to distract people from the real issues and this and that. At the end of the day, though, I don't know how you quantify. And you can bet that the losing team will try to do this. I don't know how you quantify the impact that a fake email sent to a voter might have on their election choice, because ultimately they have to go fill out the ballot. Nobody's changing any ballots as a result of this.
Right. And some of this is because many of the people who are, you know, our influencers, if you call them that, or elites in the public square, don't have very much faith in the American voter. Now, it's always been my view that people decide what is important to them in a particular election, and they take the time to learn what they need to learn about those things in order to make a decision. Okay, so the assumption is because, you know, the average American voter may not have plumbed the depths of, let's say, homeless policy. Okay, I'm just picking that one out of midair,
right,
but you can, or
right.
Tax policy. Right. Well, that's probably true, because people have lives, you know, so that, you know, they're not, unless they're in this area. But if they care about something, whether it's the economy or healthcare or whatever, I think they do spend the time to learn what they need to learn to make a decision. And it's been my experience over the years that they act rationally as a group in terms of how they define their interests. And the reason politicians don't like it is they think, or these pundits, that they're not defining their interests the right way. And so they say they're voting against their interests, for example. Well, that's because, you know, they get to decide what they think is important. You don't get to decide that. And it's one of the reasons I hope the president, because I think the things that he's accomplished are important to people.
Right.
So talk about it. Right. And don't worry about what's on the front page of the New York Times today, because I don't think that is going to affect how the crucial part of the electorate votes.
Yeah. Yeah,
I really don't.
I would agree with that. I hope that the president uses this opportunity and doesn't. I hope he brings up the Hunter Biden thing. Ultimately, though, as I pointed out yesterday, this is not about Hunter Biden. The question here is whether or not Joe Biden received any influence from what Hunter Biden was doing, or was influenced in any way. That's what the real question here is. Some of the emails that have popped up since yesterday, apparently between Hunter Biden and some other people, where he referenced his dad getting maybe part of the proceeds of whatever he was receiving, refers to him as the big guy. I don't think I think these are things that have to be fleshed out. I think that's important. Not so much the fact that Hunter Biden had a drug problem that may have been fueling some of his personal issues, but the emails are real. Nobody's denied that.
Right. It's the vice president's participation in this that's at issue. And since we don't know everything that Biden was doing, much less everything that his father was involved in, it raises a lot of issues. Now, none of this is particularly a surprise to me in the sense that, yeah, this is what China does. And I think that the email you're referring to was from like the late spring of 2017. And when I read that, like May of 2017, I thought, Biden had left the vice presidency. So it was legal for him. He was a private citizen. And if he had thinking at the time he was not going to run for president, he might have been thinking, well, I'm out of politics. This is legal. I can make a lot of money doing this. I'll just do it. And, you know, because you're 75 years old or whatever he was, and you're thinking, I'd like to make a nice chunk of money before I, you know, stick my spoon in the wall and turn it all in, you know, and this could have been a way to do it. So now I hesitate to speculate too much about this because there's so much we don't know. I don't think this is going away regardless of the election results because it's just too sloppy and there's too much stuff out there. So we'll see.
You know, Jim, you and I have discussed this before. I see where Google has been indicted by the Department of Justice. Josh Hawley now wants to drag the head of Twitter and Facebook before the committee to talk about big tech. This thing is coming to a head finally because of the influence that this small handful of people has on the people in this country.
Well, what they did with the New York Post was terrible. It was just terrible. Not allowing, and they're still not allowing the Post, I think, to tweet out the story, are they? I mean,
no, I think it's been like 7 or 8 days their account's
been
shut
down. Right, it's ridiculous. And it's almost like they decided they don't care what anybody thinks. I mean, they just can't do this without expecting a political reaction. And, I believe there's going to be one going forward. You're right, Senator Hawley's been at the forefront of this. I mean, if I were still in office, they would have convinced me. I'd have gone from thinking, you know, the danger of government action outweighs the benefit we might get from it. I'd have gone from that to thinking, yeah, you know, something's going to have to be done. And I'd be looking more at a breakup than an indictment or anything like that. Because I think the permanent solution is to break them up, is to divide the power up, rather than try and leave the power in one concentrated place and try and regulate it over time.
Yeah, that's a good point. It'll be like Ma Bell all over again, it sounds
right,
like.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's the direction. And the government's filed this antitrust case, and these things take years. But, you know, I think something's likely to happen because there are too many people across the spectrum, you know, who just think they've become too powerful.
It's a good point. Jim Talent, thank you for your insight on all that. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. Talk to you next week. Former Missouri Senator Jim Talent there this morning. Like I mentioned, at around 8, we don't have how long it'll take for them to get to the vote. The Senate Judiciary Committee will convene this morning to consider, to advise and consent out of committee on Amy Coney Barrett. We're going to have it live for you here if it happens while our show's still on the air up until 9 o'clock. So stay tuned for that. 314-241-9797. Missouri current Senator Roy Blunt up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But the first thing Washington Democrats will do if Biden gets elected is pack the Supreme Court with radical left judges who will eliminate your Second Amendment and many other things. Life. Look at the things they have to rule on. They will pack it. Somebody said 16. I said, why not 18? Why not 20? Why not 22? And he's got to also tell us who the judges are. He won't tell. He won't talk, because if he does, he's going to totally lose the radical left. So he won't say. He's in his basement. You're right about that.
There's the president speaking to a crowd of estimated at 20,000 people in North Carolina last night, bringing up the Supreme Court again, because Judge Amy Coney Barrett will have her vote this morning out of committee. We've got Senator Roy Blunt joining us by phone this morning. Senator, how are you?
You know, I'm good. I'm good, Mark. A lot going on, and Senator Hawley and I are in the middle of most of it, and we're just trying to move this this process, but also the election decision, so that people really know what's at stake in the country a week from next Tuesday.
It's a good point. So I know the Judiciary Committee is going to have to waive at least one of its rules to have this vote this morning. Can you explain that?
You know, I can. The Democrats clearly don't want us to get anything done, whether it's a COVID relief package or particularly this nomination. And under those committee rules, not the Senate rules, under that committee, you have to have two Democrats in attendance to do business, or two of the minority in attendance to do business. One, if a committee can waive its own rules at any time. Two, that's not even an essential part of the process. The essential part of the process is the president nominates somebody and the Senate votes on that person. In recent years, that's always involved a committee hearing and a vote from the committee, but that's not necessarily the traditional way this happened, and it's not the way it's going to happen necessarily today with no Democrats in the room. But they were in the room when Amy Coney Barrett, for 24 hours, answered every question anybody wanted to ask, or dealt with every question. And the one she didn't answer, she explained that as a judge, she shouldn't prejudge what a case will look like when it comes for the court. She is going to be a great justice on the Supreme Court. I hope she is blessed with good health and serves for decades. But we're lucky that she's willing to serve. We're lucky the president nominated her, and we're going to confirm her. I imagine it'll be Monday, but we'll be fighting between now and Monday all the delaying tactics that the Democrats can think of. And this is just one of them. twice in the last 2 days they tried to adjourn, at the same time complaining that we weren't dealing with the House COVID bill. Well, you certainly couldn't deal with anything if you adjourn. So there's no rational discussion going on this topic on the other side of the aisle. And I think the American people can see through that pretty easily. And frankly, when you look at the polling on this, once they saw Amy Coney Barrett in that hearing room for 12 hours each day, they have changed their view. If they didn't think she should be confirmed, a significant majority now think not only should she be confirmed, but that we're lucky that she's willing to serve on the court.
You know, Senator, I was just going to ask you that question. You know the ins and outs, the fine details of some of these rules. Is there what else could they possibly try to do to delay this final vote on Monday?
Well, there's not a lot they can do, but they can be sure that we're still here and voting on Saturday and Sunday when they'll try to adjourn, and they'll try to use other tactics to try to get from the executive calendar to some other calendar. None of that is going to work. We are here to do this job. It's one of the most important jobs that the Senate does. And again, as you and I have talked about before, it takes two things to get on the Supreme Court: a nomination from the president and a Senate that's willing to confirm that nominee. And that's what we have, and that's our job. It's what we're going to do. I think it's maybe the single smartest thing the president did 4 years ago when he was running for president was talk about the court and actually name names of the kind of people he would put on the court. You don't see anything like that happening from Joe Biden, though the president's once again released a group of names that he would put on the court given a second term. And that's clearly one of the lasting impacts of a president, unless you figure out how to pack the court, and that could be a big fight if Americans send Joe Biden to the White House and create a Democrat-controlled Senate and House. Court packing is almost a certainty, and that would be a tragedy for the great institution of the Supreme Court.
I couldn't agree more. Senator, any comments on this whole Hunter Biden laptop suggestions among these emails that Joe Biden did know what was going on there?
Well, I'm not sure how much Joe Biden knows about what's going on right now. I think that's one of the concerns that the American people should have. You know, frankly, I think, Mark, maybe even a more important question to me is, did the FBI have this laptop? Did they choose not to do anything with it? Did they have it when this was a huge issue as part of the impeachment that the president and the Senate and the country were put through earlier this year? I'm asking those questions. And from the point of view of the Intelligence Committee, if you've got this kind of foreign connection intelligence and you decide not to share it, somebody has made a big mistake and somebody needs to pay a price for that mistake.
Yeah, interesting take on that. Yesterday, we saw the FBI director come out and talk about this foreign interference or attempts in the election. How seriously do you take this? And I guess my question is there really a chance that any of these folks could impact the outcome of this election, in your opinion?
Well, I take it seriously, but I'm not the least bit surprised by it. Let me make two points here that I think are important. One is, I've watched the securing of the election process itself very carefully as a former Secretary of State, as a person in the Senate who has the election responsibility, and we are in so much better shape than we were in 2016. The intelligence community, the Homeland Security community, has worked really hard with all 50 states so that we know what's happening if something happens in the voter registration system. Even more importantly, we know what's happening if something would happen in the vote counting system. I feel good about that, and I think Missourians and the American people should feel good about that too. But it shouldn't be any surprise that when you read something, particularly in the social media you need to think really carefully about it. And frankly, you need to think carefully when you hear something reported. You know, I have no idea who the Poor Boys are. Never heard of them until maybe a month ago. But that's the group that the Iranians purported to be when they were threatening people if they voted based on a voter registration list that, frankly, among other things, is public. You can go to the voter registration office and ask to see a list of registered voters. And I believe in most states they're required to let you do that.
Right.
But it was reported widely, I believe it was just yesterday morning, that this group that supports the president was threatening and intimidating voters purportedly. There was no diligence on the part of the media to think about this for a day and see if this really was them or somebody else. I'm not defending that group, certainly, but we're going to have to be very careful in the next 2 weeks to hear what you need to hear and be skeptical of any information coming out from any source until that source has been completely.
Yeah, it's a good point. I tell you what, Senator Blunt.
Or the Chinese do or the Russians do is no surprise.
You cut out there on me a little bit, but I did want to say that thank you for your time this morning, and I hope the next time we talk, we're talking about Justice Amy Coney Barrett.
Well, I think we will be, and look forward to talking to you soon, Mark.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that. Senator Roy Blunt there on the phone with us this morning, as you could tell. We broke up there a little bit right near the end, but... there you have it. He expects Chuck Schumer to pull another trick or two out of his sleeve before the weekend is over, but they believe they've got the votes, and they believe the final vote in the Senate could come Monday or maybe Tuesday, depending on how long Chuck Schumer can delay things. Quick break here, 314-241-9797.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know, I need to revise my previous comments on crowd estimates for Barack Obama's speech yesterday.
Okay.
It was a drive-in speech, so people could drive their cars in. They had big screens set up, and in this entire huge parking lot, apparently I only estimated it at about 100 cars from what I could see. CBS this morning estimates close to 200 cars.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Twice as many.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, if they each had a couple of people in it, you might have had 400 people show up for a Barack Obama speech yesterday. I mean, that's some enthusiasm right there.
Small to mid-sized company right there.
I'm just telling you.
Whole workforce.
It's potentially doubled the size of the audience that I thought, which could have an impact on this election. The former president showing up to speak yesterday. The current president showed up, by the way, in North Carolina. 20,000 people. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't think that enthusiasm makes a difference, you are wrong. People have to be motivated to go out and vote. And I know there's a certain number of wackos out there who are motivated not by their support for Joe Biden, who feels like somebody who's wrapped in a warm sweater, apparently, according to Don Lemon. But they're motivated by their dislike or their hatred of Donald Trump. I know that that group exists. Mm-hmm. I've seen you with your combat boots on supporting local politicians. I know who you are. I see you standing on street corners.
I mean, isn't that going to be the question? Signs. Is there, and because there's obviously not enough support for Biden, is there enough hate for Trump to draw him out?
I don't know.
That's what they're open for.
That's what this election is going to be. Yeah. Excitement for Trump versus hate for Trump.
Which is why they needed, the Democrats needed to make it as easy as possible for people to express their hatred via mail, because most of them would, on election day, when the rubber hits the road, won't have the motivation to get their butts out of their parents' basement and go down to the polls and stand in line to vote. The Democrats saw that coming, so they've tried to use the courts and those legislators they control to force this to a mail-in ballot. And I don't know if they'll pull it off or not. They're going to try. They're going to try to tie this up in court for months until they can manufacture the votes they need to win. But the true enthusiasm in this race is for the president. Joe Biden's never drawn. I've never seen him, and I know part of it's intentional, in front of a crowd of more than 100 people, ever. Even when he came to downtown St. Louis, I don't think there were 100 people down there at Keener Plaza back in the summer. There just aren't. So we'll see what happens in the debate tonight. We'll talk about that more in the next hour. Tom Ackerman, Camo X Sports Director, is going to join us. There is a World Series going on. I don't know if you noticed that or not. But we will talk about that and maybe what moves the Cardinals are making in the offseason. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.